more fun.
So, last week I was playing Baldur's Gate, and you were not quite done with Final Fantasy 16.
No, I was not quite done. Alex is here too, by the way, for the listeners.
Yes, hello.
Who are waiting for his wonderful voice.
I have also played Baldur's
ours.
Gate. I also have thoughts.
And you were worried that it had this climactic kaiju fight that you wouldn't be able to do better than.
Yes.
And I was like,
a Final Fantasy that peaks too early? What?
Go on. And I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not pulling a God of War 3 here. Maybe it's building to something even cooler at the end. So, have you completed this game?
I have. I have completed Final Fantasy 16 and did, I believe, all the side quests. There's a couple of optional bosses that were just too hard. I didn't want to grind for them, but I did complete all the side quests and finished the main quest of the game. And I regret to inform you that I was 100% correct.
Yeah.
That the game peaked about 20 hours early.
Okay, now do you think it would have been a better overall experience if it had just ended at that point? If the plot had just tied up there?
Well, possibly, because Final Fantasies have a habit since, God, like 9, of introducing another bad guy after the bad guy you expect is the final boss is there. Like
yeah,
Final Fantasy 7, you had Sephiroth. Final Fantasy, which was Kefka, 3?
6.
Six, yeah, Kefka was 6. And Kefka and Sephiroth was the bad guy in the beginning, and yes, he kind of changed his forms, but who's the last boss in 7? Sephiroth, right? Even 10, the last boss, I think, is still Sin.
Yeah, but it's still your abusive father.
Yeah, it's still him, and you've been fighting him the entire time, you know? Ever since then, it's like you get to a certain point, like, oh, well, that's not the real bad guy. Here's the real bad guy. And the problem in 16 is the real bad guy is boring as shit. Ultima is
Well, at least it's
boring.
Not canon again. He does that a lot. He does it all the fucking time.
That's almost tradition at that point.
Well, is it not also a tradition at this point?
Yeah, okay, but Ganon at least is interesting. Ganon in different forms. Ganon, I didn't finish it, but Chance, I would say Ganon as the Lich thing in Tears of the Kingdom was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
100% it was.
So Ultima is kind of there throughout the whole game. He shows up briefly and Cid stabs
him
in the neck.
Well, Ultima's been in all the games. That's something that people can remember. It's not like someone you've never heard of, like Final Fantasy.
I suppose that's true. But the problem is, as his portrayal, he's not this menacing thing. He's God, basically. And he's a very kind of uncaring, aloof god. And because of that, he speaks to you in this very dismissive, monotone voice. That's just, it's not threatening. It's not interesting. So that quote that I sent you to earlier to prepare you for how terrible it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it now. And listeners, you must prepare yourself because this is one of the worst lines of any sort of dialogue that I have ever heard.
Give me a conniption.
Yes. Such foul attaint. Hold on. I gotta make it bigger because this thing is so ridiculous. Such foul attaint may not be sublimed through gainstanding. And it was said with less inflection than I just used.
There is no way the English translators didn't tear their eyes out over that line being this game.
Somebody made that happen. Yeah, I paused the game and put my head in my hands and said, now I understand what Jason Schreier was talking about. I understand completely why he got so mad about how this one goes out.
Oh,
the problem is, like, right before the final boss fight, like a dozen side quests open up.
Yep.
And they're all like the kind of closing moments with different characters in the hideout. And they're all really good. Because you have spent 50 hours with these characters. You want to know what's going to happen. So you have your final moment with this person and a final adventure with this person, and you go on one more with your dog. And you get this little closing moment with each of the characters. And then you go off to the floating city, and spoilers, everybody fucking dies. And you don't it has the courage to kill the protagonist, which is kind of sad, because Clive is not a bad guy. Clive's not. I mean, he's just kind of an everyman.
Fucking spoilers, but go on.
I just said spoilers, but Clive.
We were not going to play this game. Let's be real.
And nor should you.
I'll just play Devil May Cry DMC again. I'll be fine.
Yeah. So Clive was kind of interesting because he had all of these powers and all this responsibility thrust upon him. He only ever wanted to protect his brother. And then when his brother died, or he thought he died, all he wanted was revenge. Then he found out his brother was alive, and all he ever really wanted to do was protect his younger brother. And he had godhood thrust upon himself. And in the end, he decides that it is better for him to sacrifice himself to remove magic from the world, because magic was the source of the discrimination and everything else. He just literally wipes magic off of the face of this planet or this realm.
And that's cool.
And then creates a difficult but, you know, livable world. Mm-hmm. So that's decent. But the last 10 hours where you're chasing Ultimo around, it's just not interesting. It's just boring. It is still better than 15. Still better than 15.
And hey, 12, the villain stayed the same.
That is true.
You're still finding Vayne.
Yes. Yes.
That I don't like Vayne, so it's not that much of a victory.
Yeah, but at least it had an antagonist. You know, I mean,
he made choices. He killed his dad.
I mean, after you get through like the main area, right after the fall of the Crystalline Dominion, and it doesn't switch. The bad guy doesn't switch to Ultimo right away. It switches to the King of the Eastern Kingdom, and he's just an amazing badass. But the problem is, you find out that he is just absolutely brainwashed by Ultimo, so he doesn't even have any of his own reasons for doing anything. So yeah, it's up to about 35 hours, 40 hours. It was good. It was honestly a good game. The combat wasn't great. It was just, like we talked about last week, it's just an anime that I push buttons to see things occasionally. That's all it is. But then, like, you know, Attack on Titan, it went a season too long. and it's less of a game for it. So
I just enjoy seeing clips of it out of context on Twitter float by.
Glad I avoided
it. It's like people inside that were inside human suits the whole time, I think. I don't know what's happening. It's a lot of flying and cutting.
Yeah.
Did I talk about Joyride and Guardians of the Galaxy 3 last week?
Yes. Shit. Did you? Wait. Joyride, I think you did. Guardians 3, I don't know if you did.
Okay, Guardians 3 is really good, particularly if you like Rocket. And
I loved it. I loved it. I saw it twice.
I really enjoyed it. Once again, like, the soundtrack is absolutely spectacular. But yesterday, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was the day before, Across the Spider-Verse came out on streaming services. You can go buy it digitally for $25 Canadian.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
That's worth your money.
Alex, have you seen that shit yet?
Across the Spider-Verse? Of course I have.
It's so good. It's like one of those experiences.
It's so
good.
It's so funny. It should fall apart, and yeah, it's a two-parter, but I still liked it. I'm glad I saw that coming.
The next part is now indefinitely delayed, and I'm heartbroken because, fuck, I want to see where this goes.
I know, because it's like, I'm glad I know that this, like, train sequence is the finale, because otherwise it'd be like, this is pretty climactic for something that feels like just a interim fight scene.
Feels
like the end. It's
the only downside to it is some of the action, like the action with the spot, is so kinetic. Like watching fireworks fight.
You know what it is? It's the first time I've seen someone use Portal in a movie that didn't feel like it was an inferior ripoff of what Valve was doing. It felt like its own thing.
There was a Pixar short where there was a rabbit with a hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was also a Portal, but that was... Anyway.
That was in front of Wally.
The fights in Across the Spider-Verse, I need to watch it a second time just to get my head around some of these fights. It was absolutely amazing. Visually, holy fuck.
I love Impressionist World with Gwen.
Yeah, and how the colors keep shifting depending on her mood, and when things are sad, like, it's all red and dripping, and then when she becomes happy, it, like... It turns like sharp and poppy and like fuck, like it is. The first one was regularly stunning. This is constantly stunning. The only thing, yeah, the soundtrack was amazing. The action was amazing.
Every actor's given 110.
Every actor's giving 110. The story is fucking fantastic. This is like, once again, one of the best superhero movies you're going to see. Period. Like, Across the Spider-Verse is fucking spectacular. And, Alex?
Yes.
Have
you seen the finale of The Venture Brothers?
Is that out?
Oh, it's out, baby.
I haven't seen anything for that.
It is quite good. It's for us. It's for people that have thought that it's already been canceled 3 or 4 times until the one time it was canceled for real. It is...
The baboon something.
It's fucking ridiculous. It's radiant as the blood of the baboon's heart. Okay. I don't know what that means. I'm 2/3 of the way through it, but it's basically 4 episodes of the show that wrap everything up, and they're all so good.
Available to buy on Amazon right now, 83 minutes. Well, I know what I'm doing tonight.
It is so good. It's so bittersweet. Everybody gets something to do. Everyone's funny. You finally meet Hank and Dean's mom, and it's worth it. Ooh. And it makes sense. The first act didn't really get me. It felt kind of forced. It felt like they felt rusty.
Yeah.
But
I get it.
It shakes it off immediately. Yeah, you're mad. That's all there is.
Yeah.
But it's up there for Gargantua 2 for just being a really good movie that happens to take place in that universe. Everyone gets played off well. Ah, fuck. Everything you wanted and more.
Okay, here's what I want to know.
Mm.
What did you roll for your main character in Baldur's Gate 3, and who does your party consist of?
I haven't really gotten far enough to really shake up that party, but I have also seen Theater Camp. Have you heard of Theater Camp?
Oh, I've heard of it, but I didn't want to see it.
It's okay. It's very good for what it is, which is like, I'm sure it was pitched as like a Parks and Rec kind of show at first. So this feels like a 90-minute version of like one season of that show, which I think is for the best. It's a fun comedy with really good performances, and when it gets super dramatic, it actually works. I think Ben Platt has kind of gotten a lot of shit because he's, Oliver Platt's son. He's not playing himself. He's playing like a openly gay like drama teacher, and it's funny and it's good and it doesn't seem hack. And he's honestly as every bit the actor his dad is. I think he beats the rap. He's fine. He's good. He was funny.
84% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's good. Okay, you remember American Vandal?
I never watched it.
Honestly, worth tracking back down. One of the actors in there that plays the guy that's like accused of like doing a senior prank is
he's still here.
He loses Jack Nicholson of Dude Bros.
There we go.
Can you hear him?
I can hear him now, yeah. Alex, I think you might be having internet issues.
Am I having internet issues? When did you lose me?
Well, it's all recorded locally, so we should be okay.
Okay. We'll just cut this out later. Where was it? You haven't seen American Vandal.
Shit.
But
do we want to shut down and restart?
Well, no, can you David, can you not hear him?
No.
I can hear him.
Hello?
Oh, wait. Alex, say another thing.
Hello? We're back?
Yeah, now I got you.
Okay. Good. All right. He is the Jack Nicholson of Dude Bros in that he's only ever playing himself, but he's such a good, dumb bastard that you love him. Kind of plays the guy that's like running the theater camp and it, like as his mom's in a coma. It's fun. It wastes Patty Harrison as sort of like the evil like person that's trying to shut down the community center. She doesn't have a lot to do, but she has some to do. Like you see her fighting for her life to make that character funny. She doesn't quite get there, but I still love her. Good movie. If you see it on TV, worth your time.
Okay.
Yes. To the Baldur's Gate of it all.
So have you not played much of it at all, or are you still in the process?
Well, that really depends. Apparently, I played it for 20 hours. It feels like I've barely gotten started. Are you off the beach? Oh, I'm way off the beach. I'm in the Goblin camp.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Killing folks.
Okay, well then you should have, by this point, you should have Asterion, Gale, Shadowheart,
Gale. Who is Gale?
Gale is a hand reaching out of a portal on the beach.
I do not have Gale.
Asterion and Karlak.
I have Asterion. I have the ponytail lady with the evil artifact.
Yeah, that's Shadowheart.
Shadowheart, yeah. I was about to say. She's like that JRPG.
Yeah, she's a goth cleric. She's a goth cleric.
Oh, no, she's never leaving my party. I love my cleric. Her area heal, so good.
I don't use her for the heals. I use her for the crowd control. She's got, early on, she gets an ability called Command. It is massive.
Command.
It's just like, okay, as you're leaving the Nautiloid ship, for example, there's a demon, like the king of all demons is fighting a mind flayer on the bridge, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you can tell Shadowheart to command the demon to drop the sword he's holding.
What?
And then you pick up a sword that it's taken me probably 50 hours to find a replacement for.
No.
Oh, sorry, man. 20 hours.
See, this is what I fucking love about this game.
There are ones that are very comparable to it. Don't worry.
This game.
It's probably full of stuff you can miss.
I've been trying to find the right hyperbole to describe it, because it's going to be hyperbolic, because... Honestly, I don't know if BioWare ever did it this good. It's every little dude has a thing going on and is worth talking to and just figuring it out.
No, not everyone. A lot of the characters and a lot of villages you go to have one line, or they'll just say a thing to you and then the conversation ends. You can't consider the conversation.
Okay.
But a ton of characters like lead down rabbit holes you would never imagine.
Like, I've done that with like two different merchants now, and I'm just like, holy fuck! One of them was a monster.
Did you meet Madison Mall?
I've not met Madison Mall. I met Auntie.
Yeah,
she kicked my ass.
Yeah, no, she's like a level 5. You don't want to deal with her until you're kind of
through
the region.
She fucked my party up.
The problem is, if you've already kind of started that shit with the girl is trapped and you've gone into the
house. Oh, I know. She's fucked. There's nothing I can do for her. I feel really bad about it.
That girl is not going to live.
Look,
Okay, what's your main character class?
I am a charismatic sorcerer. Seems to be working out pretty well for me so far.
So, wait a minute, you're a sorcerer, but all your points are in charisma?
Well, that and I have charisma buffs. It's all like willpower and intelligence. That's my main.
Okay, but yeah, but no,
that's a sorcerer. You gotta do that.
Yeah. But your spells don't use charisma.
No, but charisma gets me out of every other fucking fight.
Well, yeah, but that's why you have fair enough. There are classes that kind of have naturally high charisma. Like I think Paladin does. I think Paladin casts a lot off charisma, and I think. For some reason, I think Bard, or not Bard, but Druid does too.
I don't know. I found a really good replica of Benedict Cumberbatch with a weird Roman nose that worked for me. Like this dude is a silver tongued sorcerer, and that's what we're going with.
What's your race?
High elf.
Oh, okay.
Because I figured want to go.
I am a forest gnome bard.
I know enough
and
about.
I can talk D&D anyone
shit to
into
feel my way around
anything.
Here.
Say what? Mm-hmm. Say it again.
What's anything?
I can talk anyone into anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's great.
There was a thing where Asterion needs help from a demon. And the demon said, okay, I'll help you with your thing, but you have to go in here and kill this other demon. Mm-hmm. And Asterion's like, we're doing this. We're absolutely doing this. We're totally doing this. We have to do this. And I'm like, eh, you know, it's a devil. This might not work out. But he's like, no, we have to go kill this dude. So, the devil himself that you have to kill is like a boss. Like, he has 200 hit points. He's massive and he deals crazy damage and he throws bombs at you. Surrounding him on the high ground where the fight starts, are 10 or so underlings who are all shooting you with range shit.
Fuck that.
And then there's something, I forget what it's called, it's like a void beast or something. It's like a giant cat with two tentacles.
Displacer beast.
A displacer beast. He also has a displacer beast. And so this is a fight that you are really, you got your work cut out for you. So I started the fight by convincing him that the agreement he's made with Raphael, the devil who sent us to kill him, he'll only get out of that agreement if everyone who's heard the song that he sings has died, which is what how the wording of the song is. So I convince him to kill his displacer beast. Then I convince him to kill all of his underlings. Then I could fight him if I wanted to, or I could just talk him into killing himself. And then we just walk out of the room. Just pick up all this shit and walk away.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's very Planescape Torment. That's
it's very D&D. It's pretty fucking terrific.
Yeah, it's
losing a dice roll feels awful. Winning it feels great
so
every time.
Shitty. It feels so shitty. And once you get enough, points bonuses. Bonuses. Like I'm running like on lockpicks with Asterion, I'm running like plus 17 bonuses. On conversations with the bard, I'm running like plus 15 bonuses. So unless I literally roll a one, I'm probably gonna do fine.
Like it's the kind of game where you're like I'm 20, 30 hours in, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm gonna start over.
I'm hyped to start over and do like
I feel great about that. That sounds like a fun weekend project.
Here's the thing though, like you can go to that goblin camp, for example. What I did was, you know, I met these refugees at the druid.
Can we talk about the bard for a second? I love that dude. I love his performance. I love everything where it comes out of his fucking mouth.
Okay, did you get his help with removing the parasite? Did you get him back to your
camp? I heard about that. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, you want to do that because see invisibility.
Yeah, you can see invisible
helpful.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very helpful. Okay, so there's this terrible bard.
Such a good actor.
He's really really bad. But if you free him from the goblins, who are like using him as like a dancing bear, basically, he will come back to your camp and hang out for a little bit. And if you talk to him in camp, you'll explain that you all have a mind flayer's parasite in your head, and could he please help? And he's convinced that he can, so he bids you lay down, and he takes this huge, very sharp implement and starts digging around in your eye socket. And you can then choose to tell him, okay, this is fucking ridiculous, you're done. Or you can let him keep going. And you've got like 8 points where you can stop this from happening. But if you let him keep going, eventually he just gouges your eye out. This doesn't leave you with any permanent debuffs, but he replaces it with a magic eye that allows you to see anything invisible. You have a permanent see invisibility. It's really handy to have on your main character.
It really makes half an hour vanish in a blink.
Just disappear. An hour disappears playing this fucking game.
Just eviscerate your time.
And I should note, for listeners who often agree with me about what makes a good game, is often like the feel of it, how something feels to smack something in a video game or to jump around in a video
game. The wham function.
The wham function, the locomotion of like, you know, Miles Morales feels really, really good. How does Baldur's Gate 3 feel to play?
It
feels like
fiddly.
No. It feels like nothing. It feels like there is none of that tangibility to anything you do at any point in Baldur's Gate 3.
It's all commands.
The awesomeness of it exists entirely in your mind. And it is yet so awesome. And the amount of potential it has for you to express what you want to do within its rule set is really profound and manages to overcome that need in me because I really care about these characters.
This is a major, major...
Oh, I lost Alex again.
Major, major? Major, major. Minor, major? Yeah, see? I think the foul internet deities are swallowing his something. There was. Oh, he's gone. No, it's an internet issue. He's got to be having internet connection issues. He should be able to join the room again.
Okay.
It feels like there's this party or club that I am not invited to.
Now you know how I felt when you guys. What was that last game that you and Alex were playing? And for weeks and weeks, it was just that game. And I was like,
Diablo 4.
Yeah, I'm so done with here. Yeah, it was Diablo 4. I was on the other side. And the thing is, I would have liked to have played Diablo 4.
And Alex has returned.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah, you're back.
My internet did not go out. Oh. It's this.
Really?
Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to get back to you so fast.
I will have to message Yo Weasel and say, hey, mm-hmm. we're having room instabilities.
Yes.
Anyway.
But yeah, no, I love the facial rig they got going on.
Yes, it's very good. It's
very expressive.
Okay, I'm kind of comparing it a lot in my head to Mass Effect.
It's better than Mass Effect.
I think in the amount of interactivity in the world and the degree to which it rewards exploration, like, you will always find something if you go that way. If there's a path that way, there's almost always something there. And not, like, just, like, a little thing. There's, like...
No.
A series of dungeons you might have missed.
Massive fucking chess coin.
Yes.
Quest chain. Block.
The characters are really cool. Chess like, Asterion is a legit asshole. Like, yeah. I think if you want to do an evil run, you'll get along better with Asterion.
But I'll say this. When Asterion comes onto you, I believe it.
Mm.
Okay, this game is so horny and so convincingly good at it. I love
yes.
it.
Yes. Like, okay, have you've had the thing where he tries to bite you?
Yeah. That was surprisingly tender.
I let him do it, and I was like, when it was over, I was like, okay, that was kind of hot, actually.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, like, look, I respect it when it's done well.
Gale was convinced that I was into him, and I'd just been nice to him. Like, this is what women have to deal with. I was just being nice to you and supportive. That doesn't mean I want to fuck you, Gale. But
is she an orc? What's going on?
Gale is a human sorcerer.
Oh, okay. Who
or a human wizard.
Who's the green chick?
Lazelle.
Lazelle.
And Lazelle is like a crazy Karen, where she's convinced
She's fucking nuts. I love her.
She's absolutely fucking nuts, but I think she's also kind of an idiot, but at the same time, she's so fierce, I want to seduce her. But
No, like she's one of her kind. He's like, hey, I'm gonna talk to that guy. We're cool. And he's like, oh no, I'm your version of the SS. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah.
How dare you talk to me?
Meanwhile, Karlach is a fucking awesome kid. Now, let me back up, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I created a gnome bard as opposed to a halfling bard or a drow bard or whatever like else bard, the reason I made a gnome bard is because I thought it would be fucking hilarious to romance this giant barbarian lady, Karlach.
That's a good story.
Karlach. That's right. Karlach is a huge red tiefling woman.
Yeah.
Huge and buff. And hundreds of years ago, she was abducted as a child, taken to the Hells, and forced to fight in their everlasting blood war. And she's been doing it for 200 years. And she's really sick of it. Mm-hmm. So during the Nautiloid sequence in the front, where the Nautiloid is bamfing between dimensions, there's a sequence where it's in hell. And that's where Karlach got scooped up. She just randomly scooped up.
Weren't you in hell when you were escaping on the Nautilus thing?
Yes. You're like, I believe
kind
it starts
there for
it, it starts around Baldur's Gate, I believe. It starts flying over Baldur's Gate. And then it disapparates into the hell dimension, which is when Karlach gets picked up. So you find a bunch of paladins who are trying to hunt down a demon. And you, of course, agree to help them find the demon. And you go tracking her down, and you find her just kneeling by a stream. And she's like, oh, man, nice to meet someone. How you doing? And you're like, you don't seem very scary. Have you been talking to those quote-unquote paladins? Look, they're not paladins. They're all demons and bounty hunters. They're here to get me because this queen of the underworld thinks I'm her pet, and I'm not. I'm never going back. Are you trying to take me back? No, I don't think I am trying to take you back. Do you want to go kill those guys? She's like, hell yeah! Fuck, let's do this! Karlach is so happy to be here. She's so thrilled to be out of hell. There's actually things where, like, you'll click on something if you're controlling Karlach, and her response will be, fuck yeah! She's so open and honest and is so happy to be around people and to have friends again. But hundreds of years ago, the demon who owned her replaced her heart with what's called an infernal engine, which fuels her barbarian rage and keeps her permanently on fire so she can't touch anyone.
And she can't use microwaves.
No. And prior to picking it up, I had been romancing Shadowheart. Oh yeah, and I'm gonna skip ahead here.
You ditched the goth paladin? What the
heck? I told you, I designed this character with pursuit.
Goth
mind.
Paladin that scrubs her memory so she can be a spy.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Everyone's got shit going on in her world. They have crazy shit going on. Anyway. So when you take Karlach back to where these quote-unquote paladins are, there's a really hard fight. But if you just tactics it out, you can overcome it. And then once it's done, Karlach is like, I'm never going back. Rah! And she like explodes in flame and starts going crazy, just running around the entire building you're in, trashing shit and burning it down. While this happens, you can't gain control of any of your other characters. They all panic. They run around in the fire and get burned by the fire. And after 10 turns of this or so, Karlach calms down and explains that she's got this thing with her chest, and sometimes it just either gets to be too much heat and she's got to let it out. I'm sorry, Emma. How do I look? And I take my mouse and I click on the option that goes hot.
Oh, God.
And thus begins my romance with Karlach.
It's a good game, Chamberlain.
Here's the thing. I don't doubt you. Mm-hmm. I just don't think I could deal with an isometric RPG.
It's pretty hard on easy, I'll say that much.
You're playing on easy?
Oh, yeah. I'm still getting my ass kicked because I'm like... Okay, like the Goblin Fortress. Apparently, there should be a way you can kill them all stealthily. There fucking isn't.
Not all of them stealthily. What you can do is you can kill the leaders semi-stealthily. That is, you take out the room that the leaders are in. And then once
you've
done... Except
for the one dude that's trying to revive the Mind Flayer.
Oh, no. Okay, so you know the room next to the Priestess, where the Priestess takes you and then you get the Priestess.
Yeah, and then knocks you out, and then you kill her, yep.
Okay, so in the room next to the Priestess, there's a ton of treasure. You can get there by going up in the rafters and jumping down. And then you can pick the lock and leave. But in that room with all that treasure next to the Priestess, there's also like 6 explosive barrels, and Karlach can carry all of them. And then you could just walk into that room where that guy's trying to do the ritual and just place the barrels around the room and then walk off to the side and light them up.
I managed to void ball them into a hole once.
Yeah, I never tried to legit fight it.
They tell you can do it stealthily, you fucking can't, but it does kill him.
No, you can. Yeah. I'm telling you, like I wiped that guy in one turn.
Yeah.
And the entire room of goblins in one turn just by setting it up really well.
Right. But like, yeah, I don't want to.
But then once you kill him, any other goblin you talk to is now aggro, will auto aggro you. But they won't auto aggro you until you kill him.
Mm.
Oh, anyway, if you go to the Druid Grove and you're like, no, all these people are assholes, you can then go to the goblins and side with the goblins to have them take out the druids.
Ew.
You can be that guy. And part of doing that, you get a drow druid, I think, as a companion. One of the leaders you're supposed to assassinate.
Is the authority the Mind Flayers, or is it the other?
That hasn't been revealed yet, has it, sir?
Okay, what act are you on?
I'm in 2. I'm like at the end of 2. I'm currently in the Gauntlet of Shar, and I've done like everything else I can in the region,
so
I think.
Act 1 ends with the druid shit, I'm assuming.
No. Once you complete the goblin camp, basically, there's a party. You're probably going to have a kiss with Shadowheart, if that's where you're going. and Lazelle will have words. Even if she doesn't want to sleep. Well, if you've been getting a lot of Lazelle approved, you'll probably go for it.
Oh, yeah, I'll let her go nuts. She loves me.
Oh, okay. Well, then,
She does all my intimidation roles. She's great at that.
Either way, everyone in your party is probably going to proposition you for a date that night at camp.
I know. I just killed a bunch of fucking goblins.
Once you do that, you can get into the Underdark through the through various places, actually. You can get in through Auntie Ethel's. You can get in through the Goblin Camp. I think there's a third one. There's all kinds of shit to do in the Underdark. I'm going to get to that in headlines, actually. One of the things.
Okay, so Goblin Camp isn't the end of...
No.
Good.
And then Lazelle,
like, get started.
Lazelle still wants you to go in this one direction to complete, to get to her creche. And if you want to continue, like, buying into the Lazelle plot, you kind of want to do what she wants. Once you, I would say, fully explore the Underdark, like fully explore it, and once you're at the very, 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 very end, there's an elevator, and that will take you up into Region 2. I would recommend not taking the elevator. Go back out, go up the mountain pass where Lazelle wants to go to, and then there'll be a mountain pass to walk through. Clear everything in the mountain pass. That's where Lazelle's plot kind of really turns up. Then, once you've done that area, go back down to the Underdark. It pops you up in a real good spot to start Act 2 in.
Okay, so that wall of light that tells you you're too underleveled, have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, it's like a bridge you walk. It's like a barrier. It's like you do not want to go this way until you're at least level 4. I assume that's
the DM, the virtual DM going, yeah, you can't do this yet.
No, I appreciate that. I hate walking shit.
I didn't even try to kill Auntie Ethel until I was level 5.
Yeah, I shouldn't have.
Okay, well, having seen invisibility on my main character and having silence on, I don't remember who had silence, but just silencing her was huge for that fight.
Oh, silence, and, I imagine so, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not the type of game I ever think of playing, but the more I saw of it and the more I kind of get into it, all I want to be doing is playing Baldur's Gate. I begrudge every moment I'm not playing Baldur's
Gate. Did you play Divinity 2 at all?
No. No, that's the thing. I've played none of Larian's shit. None of it.
It is definitely worth your time.
I think this is a generational leap from what they were doing.
It is, but it's still a very good RPG with a really good story.
I like these voice actors. I like the presentation. I wish there were kind of a more console-centric, over-the-shoulder viewpoint that I could constantly walk through this world in, as opposed to
controlling.
I don't know how to get to it.
I'm over the shoulder all the time when I'm walking.
Are you using mouse and keyboard or a controller?
I'm using a controller, man.
I'll see. I haven't plugged in a controller.
Do it.
But I want to do that. I want to get like
Frame rate hits, but it's over the shoulder.
I'm okay with that.
You can't really see the sky, but you don't really care.
So I had kind of been romancing Shadowheart, but I was obviously beelining it towards anything that'll get me Karlach approval.
Just using her.
And we're I legit liked her. I legit liked her, and I hadn't met Karlach yet.
Okay.
And she was really into me, and so when she asked to spend some time together, I'm like, sure. And then when she leans in for a kiss, I'm like, well, it's not official Karlach yet. Anyway, but there was a point where me and Karlach are having discussions about like what we can possibly do to solve the overheating problem. I go and I switch characters to Shadowheart. I walk Shadowheart up to Karlach and the gnome, and I summon water over them. And immediately goes into a cutscene, and Karlach goes, oh my god, this might do it. And she leans down, and you're ready? Yeah, and you kiss, and there's a little spark. It's so cute.
She's adorable. It's not afraid to be funny. It's not afraid to be horny. It's not afraid to be cute.
Yes.
It's not afraid to be blisteringly violent and sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the goblins are fucked. They did some fucked up shit.
They were brutal people.
Some of the things they did was funny. Like that gnome on the windmill.
And some of the goblins are cute to the point that it makes me wish a goblin was a racial class you could take.
I would love to play as this adorable little goblin thief that no one trusts. Awesome.
But I earn it because I'm just that earnest.
Fucking love all the goblin cast. They're having so much fun.
Yes. The voice acting is a big part of it. The most cockney
fucks you've ever heard.
We're going to gut you and wear your guts for garters.
Of course they have a cockney accent. Why wouldn't they?
Podcast. hang on. I got some additional Baldur's Gate notes in there.
I enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Did you listen to last week's episode?
I did not.
I made it like I'm one assuming more day you bailed. With Remnant. I made it one more day with Remnant 2, and then I bought Baldur's Gate 3 early access.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Remnant 2. He didn't say anything nice about it.
I know you didn't, and that's okay.
True. That's true. I had nothing nice to say.
It doesn't make you wrong. Right. You would have hated the last boss with a passion.
Okay, so so this is the last little story I'll tell about playing Baldur's Gate. Well, I'll probably tell more, but here's one that I made a point of writing down. I'm in the Underdark, and I'm just kind of roaming around, and I end up at some docks where there's actually some people that are willing to talk to you, and I'm like, hey, I can sell my junk shit. I can, you know, maybe get a quest. And I walk up to this guy, He's like, Nit, don't see many surface dwellers down here in the Underdark. He's a dwarf. He's like a dark dwarf. And he's like...
Duragar.
Maybe... Yes, that's exactly what he is. And he's like, maybe you could help us with a little problem we're having. And I'm like, a quest? Man, I am great at quests. You absolutely... Absolutely. Like, what do you got for me, man? He's like, okay. We've got these gnome slaves that are kind of acting out. So we're going to need you to go over there and either kill them or bring them back here to us. And I'm like, oh, sir. Whoa. Oh, sir. You're about to have the worst day.
Yeah.
So I ethnically cleansed his entire camp. Then I got on the boat to the camp and I went to like the headquarters of the Duragar dwarves. And I killed everyone I could find just walking around the area on their own. And then I went to, like, the boss room, or the room where, like, the story takes place, and I talked to everyone and kind of figured out what they needed, and then I walked away and kind of did that, and then I came back and killed everyone. I just completely annihilated an entire little underground civilization of dwarves because they had enslaved my people.
Duragar are just angry, angry beings. Them and the drow are just angry all the time.
Man,
no, the drow fucking suck.
There's a gnome from the Underdark you keep running into. In fact, he's that guy on the windmill.
Yeah, no, he's a jerk too.
Yeah, he's a dick too. You keep
get him down for a windmill. He's like, what the fuck do you want for that? How much money do you think I have?
I did meet some animals who weren't dicks though.
Oh, okay.
I now have a dog.
I did not choose animal voice. That is playthrough too. I can't wait.
Super cool. Did you go into the owlbear den?
I have not.
Okay, well, you end up along the road. There's some people who've been killed by an owl. Well, there's a guy who's been killed by the owlbear, but he is a member of the Cult of the Absolute, and so are his family. You can tell his family to go hunt down the owlbear that did this to seek revenge, and they'll probably do it. But I just went and found the owlbear myself. And I was like, do you really want to fight? And she's like, I'm totally going to kill you because you're so small. And I'm like, do you really want to fight me? And she's like, fine, go on your way. But if you do anything, I'll fuck you up. And if you just wander around the area too long, she'll come for you. So I had to defend myself. But I refused to kill her owlbear cub. And if you're still in the process of doing the goblin camp and you haven't completed it yet, Alex, I would suggest you go deal with that owlbear.
Okay.
And that cub may show up at the goblin camp.
Oh, I still keep forgetting to get that guy. That's like trapped at the goblin camp as a that's like a player character.
With the Halson?
Halson, yeah, the dude with the beard.
Yeah, Halson is like the
Jesus beard guy. I've seen so much.
He doesn't have a Jesus beard. That's the guy who you can fuck as a bear if you want.
Oh, okay. I was about to say,
yeah, that whole thing happening out there too.
It's
man, they're really proud of their bear animation. They throw lots of bears in your face, not just that one.
In that first druid town, there's an ox whose name, if you mouse over it, is Strange Ox. And if you talk to it, he's like, "No, not you." I'm like, "Not me, what?" He goes, "Moo." I go, "What?" Like, do you have something? Like, you're obviously not a normal ox. And he's like, moo. That's all he'll say. And then you run into this ox again in Act 2. And you run into so many people again in Act 2. Fuck, it's so good. I'm hyped to get into Act 3. I'm hyped to finish off. They're called like the Blighted Lands you're in right now. Oh, I'm so hyped to get to the city. Fuck, it's great.
This is a 3-act. We're talking 3-act structure, 4-act structure.
As far as I know, it's 3. And okay. the level cap is 12.
Whoa.
And I'm like 8 or 9 right now, and I'm obscenely powerful.
Damn, I thought it was at least 20. Yeah. Uh-huh.
In fact, there's conversations this week with Larian.
Yeah, I saw
where they're talking about how DLC is hard, because if you actually look at what players can do at level 20 in D&D, they're gods. And the only thing that can prove a challenge to them are god characters. So it's kind of hard to do for balancing issues. I don't understand why they don't just do like a different region that you could do at any level in the game, or like once you're level 12, you could go and do all this additional content, get all this new gear.
Hey, if everyone's a god, let's just play Hades.
Yeah. Well, my point is, I feel like they could do They could do a lot of ancillary stuff that doesn't raise the level cap.
Set the DLC in hell. Fight demons. Stronger demons. I'm sure you can find a way.
I've heard, actually, that the whole Karlach thing is doomed and there is no way to save her from the fact that her heart needs to be in Avernus in order not to explode and kill her. So, I don't know if it's a doomed romance, but I'm taking this Red Hellion as far as I can go. She absolutely has my heart for this playthrough. And maybe others, because I do legit like her. But if I was doing, like, a Lazelle playthrough, or I was trying to impress Lazelle, you can't with them both, because you walk up and you pet a puppy, and Karlach approves, and Lazelle disapproves. You give an orphan a heel of bread, Lazelle disapproves 100%. The chick is an asshole.
That's your dark side playthrough.
Exactly. So, does that mean it's time for headlines?
It sounds like this is going to, you know, hold your interest for quite some time.
Yes.
This is our Diablo 4 Chamberlain. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, okay.
He did bring that up earlier, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did play one other thing, and for the record, I am not a furry.
No one ever said you were.
No, I was accused, very much so. So
I just Googled the game, and yeah, I was like, a bunch of really cute animal people are. Uh-huh. Okay.
So after finishing Final Fantasy 16, as usually happens, I bounce off a bunch of stuff. Like I out of just sheer curiosity, I downloaded Doom 2016 and, you know, tried to play it on the hardest difficulty level. Got one shot by an imp. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, it's really, really fucking hard.
It's really hard. played a really bad indie call, There Is No Light. I thought the art looked good, and art doesn't look good. It's just amateurish. Finally settled on a game called Beacon Pines. Beacon Pines is definitely an indie thing. Very kind of hand-drawn-ish art. Little super deformed, furry, anthropomorphic characters. But The hook with this one is it's being told out of a literal book. Like, sometimes the whole screen pulls back and you're reading the text out of a book and you're turning pages. And you get to certain points where you need to fill in a word in a sentence. Okay. And you can fill it in with words you've discovered in the world. Like, you go up and do something, you pick up a little charm that has a word on it. Like shit or fight or flee or something like that. And every time this pops up, it's a branch in the story. So you pick one word and your story will go off and you'll hit a dead end and it'll just end and you'll get a not necessarily game over, but like this is if you actually did this is where the story would have gone. And then it lets you backtrack to the last place where it branched and choose a different word. And it's not nearly as open-ended as it sounds. It's using this, it tells the story with a whole bunch of what-if scenarios. Like, the overarching story is your character lives in this little town, and about a year ago there was an accident they called the Foul Harvest, where there was a fertilizer company that something weird happened, and the main owner died, and now a new company has moved in. You're trying to figure out what's going on, and several of the dead ends you hit are the entire town being just encased in ice all of a sudden, just boom, and you're all on ice. Yeah, there's darker things to this than you'd expect from this little, like, super deformed furry characters. And it becomes more and more complicated as you see, well, you know, if you would have done this at this point, then you all die this way. If you do this at this point, then nobody dies, but there's no resolution. So you end up playing through all these different branches, but it still tells a cohesive story because you're just seeing events from different directions. So, I mean, I thought it was really well done. The voice acting of the only real voice acting is the narrator. And she obviously played Supergiant Games and is trying to kind of mimic that sound.
Yeah.
Which is fine. She does a pretty good job with it. See, there's no comment. It's just walking around and talking to people. But it's just adorable. You've got child characters who are much too clever for being a child, because actual children are stupid and not interesting to listen to, so you can't really write
also
a child
borderline
as a child.
Sociopaths.
Yeah, very much so. So you can't really write a child as a child. It doesn't really work that way. So I don't know. It was like 5.5 hours long. It was just a good time. Just you know, heartwarming, right in the cockles of my heart or the subcockles or something.
What was
like
the name
that.
Again?
Just kind of like Beacon Pines.
Beacon Pines.
Metacritic is like 88.
What?
Yes, I'm dead serious. This thing was reviewed very well.
Huh.
It's almost as good as Baldur's Gate.
It's 1 point better than Final Fantasy 16. Which is, I thought was funny. So, I mean, I did that. Quake 2 did hit Game Pass today, and guess what? It plays like Quake 2. So.
Yeah, I would download that for free, but I wouldn't pay money based on that trailer. I watched the trailer, and I was like, I have such fond memories of Quake 2, and ugh.
It doesn't...
Ugh.
It doesn't work, because they didn't really... Console shooters, as you know from Overwatch, you have to have some kind of auto-aim, or at least some stickiness.
Aim assist.
Built in. Aim assist, right? It doesn't really have that. So, at least not aggressive enough aim assist. So, even playing single player, it's like, I'm trying to hit this guy. And they didn't do much to it. It still looks, it looks really old. I find it fascinating that Quake and Quake 2 I can't go back to. But if I'm bored enough, I'll go back to Doom. Like, original Doom. Yeah,
original Doom.
Original
and
Doom
it's still
works.
Playable.
Because, yeah, like, the hitboxes make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, it's so simple. It's just right and left. There is no aiming up or down in Doom.
Exactly. No. You're just lining stuff up and shooting.
It's a good
Doom
maze.
Doom 64 is the same way. Doom 64 just still works.
Yeah, I did. I did get really far in that when I was waiting for Eternal to load up.
Oh, 64?
Yeah. Because I got it for free.
I unapologetically love Doom 64. I think
I get it.
Really good.
It's more Doom. It's a good version of Doom. It's different levels.
It's a good version of Doom, and I remember from way back when I played it, that a lot of the sound design was really good. Like some of the later levels.
I was impressed.
Yeah, some of the later levels.
The doors twist you.
Well, that and like some of the later levels, as you get deeper into hell, sometimes you'll just hear like babies crying in the background, and you're like,
that's
creepy and weird.
Don't
yeah. So that was good. I don't know
if they didn't want to go to hell, they should have been baptized.
What are you Catholic?
That's where
no, that's not true. Catholic babies go to limbo. Or they come from limbo. No, souls come from limbo and they go to...
No, unbaptized babies go to limbo. It's still a fucked up system.
No, it's not. I thought unbaptized babies go to purgatory.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Purgatory, halfway.
Yeah, yeah.
Let them into heaven, Christ's sake.
I mean...
They literally never had a chance.
Hey, Christ died for their sins and they didn't take the, you know, whatever.
They should have thought of that before they were defenseless.
Exactly. Does that mean it's time for headlines?
I think so, yeah. The Beacon Pine's the only thing of interest I played, and I don't know what's next. I'm hurting right now.
PC and play some Baldur's Gate.
I have my laptop would not run Baldur's Gate.
It chugs on my rig.
And the problem is the PS5 version comes out day and date with Starfield.
Man, I don't know if that's going to run on my PC. I'm getting really
that will be an
that.
Interesting numbers day. Because I know Starfield will win because it's on Game Pass. People will just, you know, download it for free.
Yeah.
I want to know about the PC side. PC sales of Starfield day one, how much lower they will be than Baldur's Gate 3. Because it's not going to make it to Baldur's Gate 3 numbers.
It's
there's
not.
No way.
It's not.
I don't think it will.
I'm so thrilled. They're just tearing up the charts. Remnant 2 is actually doing pretty well still, but yeah.
Headline.
Remnant 2 has been beating the Steam Deck for like 3 weeks. That's nuts.
In entertainment news, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is now available to buy.
It is delightful. Everyone should see it.
And so is the Blood of the Baboon Heart, Venture Brothers movie.
Oh, so good.
Not
enough Brock. Prepare yourself for very little Brock.
Aw.
But, everything else is great.
Tears of the Kingdom has sold over 18 million units so far.
God damn. And I love that that's not even multi-console. That's like you buy it on the Switch. It's the only place you can get it.
Really good. Baldur's Gate 3's 97 on Metacritic has beaten out the best-reviewed game of the year, Tears of the Kingdom, at 96.
That'll probably be the best-reviewed game of the year. I can't see anything else beating that this year.
The thing is, when Baldur's Gate comes to console, it's going to get more reviews. That number is almost definitely going to go down because the 97 is based on 16 reviews right now.
Yeah, that ain't shit. Spread that around.
Wow.
Okay. Well, they didn't get review codes until like 4 days before launch. I guarantee most of them haven't beaten it yet.
I don't know if I'm going to beat this in a month.
Well, no, I think it'll take... Act 2 is definitely shorter than Act 1. There's less to do. But no, I'll be hyped to get out of this place because it kind of sucks.
I mean, as long as the story ends at a decent clip, I won't be too upset.
There's one thing that really kind of pisses me off in Act 2. And if you find a solution to this, Alex, I want you to tell me.
Okay.
So the problem with Act 2 is it takes place in the Blighted Lands. The Blighted Lands are beset by an unnatural darkness that will eat away at your vitality if you're unprotected by it. So you can kind of keep it at bay with torches to begin with, but there are areas that it's going to start damaging your party over time regardless. Eventually, you get something called a Moon Lantern, and you get this as part of a quest outside of a place called Last Light Inn. It's pretty easy to access it. And then once you get it, you realize that the reason this lamp works and keeps the darkness at bay is because there's a pixie trapped inside of it. And the pixie explains that the only reason this thing works is it works off her pain. And being in here is constant torture. Please, please let me go.
Oh, now, is this a metaphor for Hollywood?
you need the lamp, but the right thing to do is obviously to free the pixie, so I did. And she gives you a blessing so that you don't actually need the lamp. Great. Then later in that same region, there's a place called Moonrise Tower. You find another one of these working lamps. And I can't find a way to interact with it to free the pixie within. I don't know if you just can't, and if they just thought that no one else would think to do this. That seems unlikely to me. Alex, if you figure out a way to get the second pixie out, I want to know.
It might just be like stealth and all the goblin captains. I don't think you can.
We'll see. You can stealth all the goblin captains. You just can't stealth out after you kill the last one.
If the internet hasn't already figured it out, I
but
don't know.
Once you kill the last one, you don't have to walk out. Just fast travel back to the glade.
Damn it.
Open the map.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Alex, say a thing.
He just did.
I lost him again.
Hello?
Oh, he's back. He's back. Okay. Baldur's Gate 3 started... can you hear me? Alex can't hear me now?
Hello?
Alex, I got you. I'm talking to you, Alex. Alex, I'm saying things.
Screaming into the void. We're there. We can hear you. Oh,
Alex. Alex. Alex.
Alex, are you there?
You know, I'm trying to be.
I'm Alex, just going to leave this me? All in just because, you know.
Okay, can...
Alex, can you hear me?
Tommy, can you hear me?
Hello, Alex. Alex, I can hear you.
We can hear you. You just can't hear us, but if you keep talking over us, I may have to mute you. No. Anyway, headlines.
I can hear Chance.
Headlines? Okay.
All right, well, I can hear you. We're going to go with headlines.
Okay. Baldur's Gate 3 started beating Spider-Man 2 on PS5 for pre-orders. Well, wait, if Alex can hear you, let's just have you read headlines.
Baldur's Gate 3 started beating Spider-Man 2 on PS5 for pre-orders, which cannot last long. There's no way that can...
Yeah, like, I'm sure those Spider-Man 3 pre-order, or 2 pre-orders have been... Though that's been out for a while.
Yeah.
And Baldur's Gate hype just kind of exploded recently.
It'll catch up later on. That's fine.
Yes.
How do I look hot? We talked about that already.
Yeah.
If summoned as a familiar to your party...
All-time peak players.
All-time... Oh, I missed that one. Yes, Baldur's Gate 3 passed the all-time peak players of Apex Legends and is now a top 10 highest concurrent players game on Steam ever. Over 630,000 concurrent players? Are you kidding me?
This is almost all through word of mouth, I'm convinced.
People
proselytize this shit.
This is amazing.
It's an amazing game.
For a game... Whose actual like gameplay harkens back to things that are 20 years old.
Yeah, honestly, I think the D&D movie helped a lot.
That's possible.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
No,
it's
good. It's a good time.
The stigmatization of D&D is much less than it once was. I think nerd culture in general is just not quite as frowned upon as it was even 10 years ago.
So. Stranger Things, I think, helped D&D.
I think the world really wanted another BioWare game, like, right now.
That is a very good possibility.
It's a gaping void. It's 2015 was in position.
Yeah.
Almost 10
if
years
summoned
ago.
As a familiar in your party, Scratch will help to down party members by licking their faces.
Scratch
is the dog? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Scratch is the dog.
What's that, a quest, sir?
Oh, that's the Dwarves Underground.
Ah, gotcha. And Rockstar finally revealed a port of Red Dead Redemption for PS4. PS4?
Yes.
And Switch?
Yes.
It's coming August 17th, and it'll be $50.
Lucky, yes. 30 frames.
Yes.
Wow, that sounds like a tremendous waste of time. And
it is.
Yeah.
This harkens back to that Grand Theft Auto nonsense, where they released bad up ports of those.
Yeah.
It's like they ported Bloodborne to the Switch and just still kept it at 30 frames just to fuck with you.
Why PS4, yeah, though?
Because it would look egregiously bad as a PS5 game.
I think this is some algorithm bullshit. Like, if we do blank for blank on this system, we'll make X amount of money.
Yeah. I think he's right.
Is it actually running on Switch, or is it streaming on Switch?
I believe it's running. I don't know for sure, because I didn't look into it, because who gives a fuck?
I'm not going to play. I mean, I can download it and play it again on my Xbox One. So
I honestly don't know who this is for.
We already talked about Quake 2.
We already talked about Quake 2. All right. Well, I think due to our current audio shenanigans...
What's that, sure, Jim?
Is there an issue? And I can hear David, but great, you cannot hear David. And Chance can hear you. So I don't know what's going on. I'm gonna message my friend Yo Weasel on Discord and say, like, hey,
had a little game of telephone tonight.
Something's going on. He's actually really good about communicating things. They've been running into specific audio, little, you know, behind the scenes stuff. They've been running into issues with the way different browsers render audio. And it's like, you can't do it the same way on any two browsers. Chrome is
I'm
different
learning,
than Edge. Is different
I should
than
probably
else.
Never use Firefox again.
Why?
I don't know, because I've been using Chrome before and it was never an issue.
Chrome works, but Chrome just eats up your RAM. It's always been an issue with Chrome, and
yeah.
I'm on Chrome.
You guys are always a RAM priority for me. Didn't mean to sound.
Someone's been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate, just kind of horny all the time.
Oh, there'd be no way I could play Baldur's Gate without my rig screaming into the mic. I promise you that much.
Makes sense. All right, in that case, we're gonna call this because nobody can hear each other except for me. So, Alex, thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
Chance, thank you for talking. Thank everyone for listening. We will see you in a week with more Baldur's Gate 3 talk.
It'll never stop, baby. Every week a new act.